Well, you should have your Bibles already open to Ephesians chapter 6, but we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. So go ahead and get your Bibles open. We're going to look at a few passages or a few places in Ephesians 5 as we walk through this. You know, it's interesting. You get a different perspective when you're the one preparing for the time of teaching, and then you go through the worship, the moment of proclamation at the beginning. You go through announcements, and all of these things. It's amazing how the Lord knits them together into the very thing that He's put upon your heart. So, everything I'm going to tell you right now has already been spoken. Isn't that exciting? Everything, we've already proclaimed it, whether it was through song or whether it was through prayer or whether it was through a word from the Word of God. And that's pretty exciting. So our text this morning is a very simple text. It's Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 15 through 18. And so let's stand up and let's read, and then we'll pray. And then we'll dive into this text. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 18. Paul says, "Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." Let's pray. Father, as John prayed, and as we're before you now, we ask afresh, fill us with your Spirit, that we might understand what your will is for our lives. How that's worked out in every life here. It's going to look a little different in each one because you are so creative. Alpha, Omega, working out your purposes through our little lives. Oh, thank you. Now, would you magnify your church by helping us understand your purposes, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. So our text this morning is a calling to leave worldliness, okay? A calling to leave worldliness and to live the life of the kingdom of God by the power of the Spirit of God. So again, it's a calling to leave worldliness on this side that is a part of who we are. It's what we're attracted to. It's what the world is selling us. And to live according to the kingdom of God, the life of God, as Paul says earlier in Ephesians. So Paul's going to give us four gospel-driven ways to pursue God's kingdom here in this text, and he's going to contrast them with that pursuit of worldliness that we want to turn away from. The first one he's going to say is, look carefully how you walk with wisdom. Be wise, Jubilee, in 2019. Secondly, he's going to say, make the best use of the days that are given to you, of the time that's given to you. And number three, he's going to say, understand what God's will is. We've already been reminded we want to be a people of the book in 2019. Understand what the will of God is. And number four, be filled. Be filled with God's Spirit. You're not alone. You don't do this alone. Be filled with God's Spirit. God's Spirit enables. And really, Paul may be saying two things just in pairs here. So let me rephrase it for you. Number one, Jubilee, look carefully. Look carefully how you walk by understanding what the will of the Lord is. For this is wisdom. Secondly, make the best use of the time that you are given by walking according to the power and wisdom of the Spirit of God. So Paul is encouraging us. He's saying, come on, church, come on. Don't give in to the world. God has given you his life. Pursue the kingdom of God by keeping in step with the Spirit of God, listening to him, obeying him. Paul is like a cheerleader on the side, encouraging the church ahead. Well, look with me there at verse 15. This flows out of what Paul has already written in the chapter here, because he says, look carefully then. Look carefully, knowing what has come before. Look carefully then. So because of all that we have said previously as we've been studying through Ephesians, he's saying, come on, give yourselves to the life of the kingdom of God. Earlier in chapter 5, Paul has been contrasting the life of the church against the life of the world. And he's been admonishing us to recognize worldliness. He's been trying to help us see it, help us understand it, help us to see its tentacles as it seeks to come into our lives. That which is self-centered, that which is focused on meeting my desires. Worldliness. And Paul is describing in our couple of verses here a God-centered way of living versus a self-centered way of living. It will be a whole lot easier to live 2019 in a self-centered fashion, believe me. But God is calling us to life. And that life is centered in him alone. Paul says that a self-focused investment or worldliness is not what we see when we are learning about Jesus and the kingdom of heaven. Rather, we've seen in God's revelation of his wisdom, which is Jesus, right? We've seen, even as we've studied Ephesians, in God's revelation of his wisdom, a pathway to reconciliation. We've seen a pathway to forgiveness. We've seen a way of loving others, thinking of them above our own desires. So look back with me just for a moment, right up the chapter to verse 1 of chapter 5. Paul says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Now, how are we to imitate the Father? He's talking about the Father. Be imitators of the Father. Be imitators of God as beloved children. How are we to become imitators of the Father? Well, our chapter divisions here kind of mess us up a little bit. So look back up into chapter 4, the last verse. You could probably just go right together, get rid of that chapter division there. He says, be kind to one another. The last verse of chapter 4. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God, the Father, in Christ forgave you. Ah, there it is. Be imitators of God, Jubilee, in the ways in which you interact with one another, in our marriages, in our families, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, with our roommates. Be imitators of God. God is tenderhearted. God is kind. He's forgiving. And we are to be the same in 2019. As God in Christ forgave you, so you are to forgive. Therefore, be imitators of God. Now look at verse 2. Verse 2 there says, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Whoa, the Father is to be our example, as is Christ is to be our example. Jesus is given as the second example, and what does his example define for us? Love. The example of Jesus is defining love for us. Love is defined by Jesus in this way. He gave himself up for us. So, not living for himself. Not living for himself. But living for the good. Living for the benefit of others. Willing to do the hard thing. Willing to do the selfless act. Coming back from a hard day at work and you find the kitchen, the dishes are just full, overflowing in the sink. And you give yourself to it selflessly, because life is not about you. Life is about the good of this one you love, your wife or your roommates. Giving yourself selflessly to the good of others. Very practical, very, very practical. It's like letting that selfish person who's coming up in the bus lane, you know, right coming by you, and you see them in your rearview mirror, you're like, they're going to come by, and then they're going to want to merge. And the road runs out, they're going to want to merge right here. They're going to speed up. Uh-huh, yeah. See, your laughter says your heart's just like mine. We don't live for ourselves. We don't live to beat on them, but rather we slow down so they can merge in, even though it's going to make us potentially late for what is next. Jesus is showing us a way to live life that is not about ourselves, but it's about the good of others. How we're to serve those with whom we've been given a little bit of influence, and you are given a little bit of influence on that person's life. As you slow down and you let them merge. How God will use that, you have no idea. But that may be the very thing that God uses as you, in love, let that person merge. God may put upon their heart, man, I want to be more like that. What is it? What is it about people who are selfless? You have no idea how God is working, but that's what we were reading about in chapter 6. We wrestle against things that are otherworldly. It's spiritual forces. There's a battle going on, and God wants to use our lives, Jubilee, to bring about his purposes in the lives of others, whether you see it or not. He wants to bring it about. But if you are full of selfishness and blocking the channel, you will not be used. He will accomplish his purpose. He will bring it about. You will miss out. And Jesus is saying, God is saying, Paul is reminding us, church, come on. You've been given so much. Let's invest. Let's invest in 2019 in this very thing to which God has called us and invested in us. So Jesus is showing us a way to live, love. But the second part of that definition there in verse 2, that he demonstrates, is a focus. Jesus is doing everything with the Father in mind. This is the only way you're going to be able to love your enemy, is with the Father in mind. We're to see our acts, we're to see our responses toward others as opportunities to worship our Daddy, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Yeah, it's hard to do those dishes in the sink. You're tired. You just want to relax. A sacrifice, a fragrant. You mean dishes? An offering, a sacrifice? Yeah, yes, exactly. Because it's emanating, it's coming from a heart that longs to worship the Father and love those around you. So Paul is defining the Christian life for us here in chapter 5 through the examples of the Father and the Son, and then he's going to contrast it with the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of worldliness. And one aspect of this gospel understanding that you and I need to hear is that God is angry with this worldly kingdom. He's not happy with this worldly kingdom, with the work of the enemy, with hearts, our hearts, that turn to worldliness. After describing here in Ephesians 5 some of the rebellion of our flesh that is common in the world here, Paul reminds us that God will not tolerate this kind of activity in his kingdom, this kind of worship in his kingdom. In fact, it is a worship because it's a worship of ourselves, and it is a rebellion, and it will bring about his wrath. If you look at verse 6, just glance at verse 6 there of chapter 5, he says, let no one deceive you, Jubilee. Let no one deceive you with empty talk, with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Worldliness is disobedience. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Those who practice disobedience are sons of disobedience. It is a choice that we make day after day. Will I humble myself before God and obey Him, like my Lord who humbled Himself by becoming obedient? Or will I disobey and follow my flesh and follow the world around me on the wide path that leads to destruction? It's a choice we have to make moment by moment by moment. You don't do it alone. We're getting to that. Be filled with the Spirit. You don't do it alone. It's not hopeless. It's hope-filled jubilee. There is so much hope because there's so much power and authority and strength to rise up and to worship with your life through love. Let's keep going here. The calling then is to walk in humble obedience as children of light, children who try to discern what is pleasing to my daddy, children who want to be like their daddy, children who see life through the lens of being given life. You woke up this morning, being given life in order that you might serve, in order that I might serve the giver of life. The contrast is that of a kingdom in darkness that believes that life is a right. It's my right. Life is my right. And therefore, life will be used to serve a kingdom that belongs to me. And that's when most of the world lives life. It's only those who are sons of obedience who recognize that life is a gift and it's been given by a giver to whom it belongs. He's investing in us for the sake of his purposes. Paul has just reminded us that as children of light, we're to discern and even expose the darkness here in chapter 5. A darkness that wants to keep us living in a place of delusion, like Pastor John was talking about earlier. We'll look at verse 14. Paul says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Wake up, brother. Wake up, sister. Wake up from any deadness, any shame, in any sinful ways. Like Lazarus, come forth from the tomb that Christ might shine upon your life, so that he might change us from one degree of glory to another as the light permeates your life. Wake up. Don't stay in that place of deadness. That's the calling. Come forth and let the light of Christ shine on you. That's what we've seen in this little letter to the church of Ephesus. Yep, there's deadness, isn't there? You were dead in your trespasses and sins, but God made you alive. Chapter 2, there was deadness in your relationships. But what did God do? God brought you into a place of reconciliation. He made you alive to one another, to a place of peace, making you into one new body that is exposing the darkness and filling up with light. So back to our text right here in verse 15. Paul urges us on. He says, come on, Jubilee. Come on. Come on. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise or foolish, as he says in verse 17. Come on, Jubilee. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. And wisdom is defined here a little further in verse 17. Look at verse 17. Wisdom is defined a little bit further when it says, understand what the will of the Lord is. So wisdom is an understanding of God's will. It's a wisdom from above. As James chapter 3 talks about, you can look at that later. James chapter 3 talks about what is wisdom from above. And it's contrasted here with the wisdom of the world. You know what the wisdom of the world is like? It's an incoherent state of darkness, of drunkenness. A drunkenness in darkness, in a cloaking. It's a place where the shame of brokenness becomes obtuse. You don't really even see it. You don't see one another. And so for a moment, in that darkness, in that drunken stupor, there's no shame. There's no shame. In fact, there's even just a little bit of peace because you can't see. It's dark. Things are obtuse. You just can't see. And there feels like there's just a little bit of peace. But Paul says it's foolishness. It's foolishness because it doesn't last. There's nothing lasting in it. There's no hope in it. So Jubilee, we are called not to dabble in this worldly wisdom. We're called to walk in the wisdom from above. The wisdom from above by which we discern what is pleasing to the Lord, the giver of all things. The wisdom that is given by the Spirit of God, as Paul says, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, next week when we come together, we are going to discuss. All right, it's the next time we're talking through, I think it's next week, we're going to be discussing the freedom, the peace, the joy, the love, the patience, the kindness, the outworking of this Spirit of Christ in our lives as we live by the power of the Spirit of Christ. But I want us to focus once more right here as we bring this together. I want us to focus on the foundation for that life that we're going to talk about next week. So I want you to look again here at verses 15 and 16 and listen to what Paul says. He says, look carefully then, Jubilee. He doesn't say Jubilee, but he's writing to Ephesians, the church at Ephesus. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Jubilee, the calling is to examine. The calling is to examine ourselves in the light that Jesus is giving to each one of you. We are all in different places, but it's the light of Christ that's shining into our hearts at different places of maturity as we're walking along together. Paul is saying, examine yourselves in the light that Jesus shines, and be faithful to that light that he has given to you. Don't look at somebody else and say, well, I don't have that, or I'm not good enough. No. Examine yourselves in the light that Christ is shining on you and be faithful to that light. Are you living in that light? To make the best use of the time is to recognize that time is given to you. God has given you this time in your life when so many of you have little children and you're like, ah, how are we ever going to get through this? We look at Pastor Dan, whose kids are grown up. It seems like that's the place you should be. No, this is the time that he's given to you. He's given to me, to Lori and myself, a time, a different time. God is the one who puts you and brings you into different seasons, different times of your life. He's calling us to faithfulness and wisdom. He's saying, steward well this time that I have given to you. God has given you this time so that you might carefully invest all that he has given as light in those you influence around you, whether it be your husband, whether it be your wife, whether it be your roommates, whether it be your children. Investing. Just as we saw in verse 2 that Jesus gave himself up for us, he invested what was given to him, and he invested it in us, and we are called to do the same. Is this the motivation? Is this the motivation for your life? Day to day? Moment by moment, your flesh and the world are going to sing a different song. They're going to sing out a different tune, a different storyline, and it's going to be a self-centered line that makes life all about the material benefit, especially in America, all about the material benefit that you can gain, all about the strokes that you can receive from one another, maybe because you look so great or because you've done things so well, because you've just moved up in your role, at your job. I'm somebody now. That's what the world sings. That's the song that comes out of your heart apart from Christ, apart from the Spirit working, is a selfish, self-centered benefit. What is motivating you? The Bible calls this kind of motivation from self-centeredness, the Bible calls this foolishness. Paul says it's rebellion. God says it is evil. And yet, it's so easy to dabble in it, isn't it? It's so easy to give ourselves to it, isn't it? Our calling is to live out of who God has made us in Christ. And I just want to, we've been studying Ephesians, and so I just went back and I just started looking at a few things in the first couple of chapters. Listen to what God has called us to, all right? Just listen to some of what Paul has already stated in Ephesians. We're called into the blessing of God himself. We're called to be holy and blameless, set apart from the world. We're called to live as adopted children of God, adopted out of worldliness. We're called into redemption, a forgiveness in which all worldly debt is paid on our behalf. If you know that, you can forgive others. You can live at peace with others. We're called to know and be filled with the knowledge of God's purposes and design for life, while the world scatters trying to figure out, why are we here? What is my life all about? We are called to an inheritance that will never be taken from us. Not one that we accumulate here in the world that sits in Wells Fargo, that diminishes when the stock market goes down and we go, my retirement. No, we have an inheritance that will never be taken from us. Do you hear it, Jubilee? Do you hear how God is for us? We are called to be filled with, with God's Spirit as the guarantee of our inheritance and to know nothing of the spirit of this age. We are called to an abiding faith in Jesus that breeds an ongoing love for one another rather than trusting our ability and living for selfish desire. We're called to walk with a leader, the Spirit of Jesus. You don't go walk alone. To walk with a leader, the Spirit of Jesus, Jesus who is our head. We're called into a place of authority and power over the rebellion in this world. We're called to know the fullness of God as we are united with the head, Jesus. We're called to be a dwelling place for God, built by the Spirit. Hallelujah! We're called to be sons of obedience. We're called to a stewardship of God's grace. And that's just in the first couple of chapters of Ephesians. Paul is saying, come on, church. Come on. You have been invested in so heavily. Now walk in the wisdom of God's Spirit. Pour yourselves into this investment. Put off worldliness. Work out your salvation with fear. Fear, because you know how evil it is around you, the evil day. You know the yuck of your own heart and the weakness of your own flesh. But trust in the Spirit of God, the filling of this one who makes all of this possible for the good and growth of the kingdom of God. Not to make a name for you or for me, but to make a name for Jesus, to proclaim the name of Jesus in this church. You know, you guys remember the parable of the talents, the where Jesus talked about, all right, I'm going to give this guy one, I'm going to give this guy two, I'm going to give this guy five, whatever the denominations are. You know what makes that parable so sad about the guy who just took his investment and hid it? Is that he didn't believe, he didn't know that it didn't depend on him. The investment was the master's. He was simply called to be a steward of that investment, as are we. And yet we live life as if it all depends on us, rather than recognizing that it all depends on the Spirit of God. So work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because it's God who is at work in us to will, to do, to bring about all His good pleasure. Come on, church, let's give ourselves to this in 2019. Jesus said, ask and you will receive, because God will never abandon His investment. Church, when we know that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we know this God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we know that if God is for us, we are more than conquerors, when we know that, when we know that having begun a good work in us, God will bring it to completion, then we shout to our souls and we shout to one another. And so he's just sit there. Oh, yeah. It's good. Hey, how's your day? Are you guys okay? Good. Yeah. Well, we're headed home. No, we need to be concerned for one another. We need to be concerned about our soul. So we shout to our souls. We shout to one another. His promise of power for our lives is through this Holy Spirit. We shout, we say, wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead and Christ will shine. There's the hope. Christ will shine upon you. His promise of power in our lives through the filling of the Holy Spirit causes us to call out, Abba, Father, give us our daily bread. Give us what we need today to overcome the evil, to walk in wisdom, so that your will for our lives is revealed and the investment that you've made in us returns 30, 60, 100 times. It's God who brings that about, folks. It's God who makes that happen, regardless of what the stock market does. It's not about a worldly wealth, is it? So come on, church, let's give ourselves to walking in this light. Dads, moms, pray with your children. Because you believe that in seeking the favor of God, He bestows it. Pray with your children. Brothers, sisters, 2019, open the Word of God day after day after day, 3 or 4 times during the day. Open the Word of God, believing that God's Word will never return void. It will bring about the very thing for which it has been put into motion. The very reason that you picked up that word and you read it this morning, God's bringing something about. Let Him do it in and through your life. It will not return void. God's purposes will be accomplished. God will never abandon His investment. Cast off the bondage of sin, Jubilee. That mindset that says the focus of life is to be on me. Cast it off. You were made for bigger things. You were saved for bigger things. You are invested with life to serve this kingdom of God. Go for it. Come on, church. Let's go for it. Let's serve the kingdom of God. Let's serve our King. Now, the enemy, days are evil. The enemy, as we've already heard, is a deceiver. He's good at it, really good at it. In fact, he's a whole lot smarter than you are. The enemy is a deceiver. Do not listen to his foolish talk. It is everywhere. Billboards, TV, movies. You have to be a discerner in all of these things. Come on, church. Be careful. Because if you do listen to him, you too will become foolish. Look carefully then, Jubilee, how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
Do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit.